Hebrews 11. And so, last week, I don't know if you needed a handout. There should be some there, but I don't think I probably got all the blanks filled in. So again, today is March the 16th for people on the tape here. And we're just kind of reviewing real quickly, and then we're going to get into lesson 9. But does anybody have any blanks before on your handout from last week up until number 6 on the back page? Anybody need a blank filled in?
4B.
He was put in charge. Charge goes in your blank.
What's in the last blank?
He did.
Under the keeper and all he did.
On that 4B.
Oh, including... You said 4. Okay.
Right.
And all he did, he prospered. Prospered goes in there. I'm sorry. It seemed like everything Joseph did in the Bible, if you watch him, wherever he went, no matter what the circumstances was, he prospered at. Okay. And then number 5 with the butler and the baker, both had dreams and Joseph gave the interpretation of that dream. And I think that's where I stopped last week. I think I stopped right there at number 6. So I'm just going to go through 6 going down. So he also had a dream with Pharaoh. Remember the dream? And Joseph interpreted this dream and was put in charge of the entire nation. So Joseph became the number 2 person in Egypt. And as a result, he saved the people from starvation, including his brethren. Remember his brethren were so nice to him? I mean, we think you have problems with your sisters and brothers. At least none of them have tried to kill you or sell you into slavery. Or left you in a pit. All that. So, number 7 says, with the Lord. So I just want to talk about that for a minute. Joseph had a relationship along with all these other people, his standing, but he already had a relationship with the Lord. Because if you watch everything Joseph does, it seems like, number 1, the Lord, like we already talked about, made him to prosper. But it was the Lord that gave him the interpretation of the dreams. Okay? He didn't just do that. You know, that just wasn't his name to fame. The Lord gave him the dreams or the interpretation, goes in your blank, of the dreams. And so we talked about last week 4 dreams. Actually, there's 5. I can't count. So, of course, most of you know that. And so the first 2 dreams we don't normally talk about. But the second 3 dreams, the one with the butler, the one with the baker, and the one with the Pharaoh, we know about all those. Right? Because we kind of focus on those. But we're going to go back and look at those first 2 dreams in a minute. But Joseph never forgot the Lord in all his trials. He gave credit to God for the interpretation of the dreams. In all his trials, he still prospered, even through the setbacks. He saw a partial fulfillment of the first 2 dreams, and he came to realize that all that had happened to him for harm, that God had orchestrated it, and then used it for good. And I think you should have a verse there, Romans 8:28, in your handout. Do you? Because for us, he does the same thing. Everything that we think may be bad, the Bible tells us in Romans 8:28 that God uses it and turns it around for our good. So don't even worry about the bad things that happen to you. God will turn it around for your good if you're his child. Okay, and I can give you another verse for that. Genesis 50 and verse 20. And God will do that for us now. So the things that happen to us now that are not so great, God will turn it and use it for our good. Joseph went from the pit to the prison and then to the palace. If you ever want to teach about Joseph, that's a really good outline for you. He goes from the pit. And you just think, well, it can't get any worse than this. And he goes to the prison. But he ends up in the palace. Because God brought him through all those, okay? And all the while, he put his faith in the Lord. That is why at the end of his life, that Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel to take his bones back to the land of Israel. Because he had faith that God would eventually lead the Israelites back to the land of Israel that God had promised them. Joseph, again here, and we're going to point this out today, is one of the greatest types. So the last two blanks in your handout was lead, and then the last one is types of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. So why did God put this one verse back in Hebrews 11? Let's go back and look at it. Hebrews 11, if you're already there, verse 22, says, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. Now, out of all of his life, that's the one verse that God puts in there that talks about his faith. And I'm sitting there, I'm reading this, and I'm just like you guys. I want to know why. Why that verse? What was it in that verse? What's in that verse that was so important that God put that in there in this a Hall of Faith chapter? And it basically, he gave commandment concerning his bones. How long was it between when Joseph died and they unburied his bones and took them back to Israel? A few years, right? Hundreds of years.
Close to 400.
Yeah, I don't know how long he lived, but they were down there close to 400 years. And so this had to make an impact on every generation, because all along they had this commandment. Hey, if you guys get out of here, you got to take my bones with you. After 400 years, they get ready to leave. And what did they do? They remembered this. And they made sure they dug his bones up and brought it. So this made a lasting impact for generations to come. I hope my faith has a lasting impact for generations to come. I don't know about you. Hopefully our kids, our grandkids, you know, you kind of wonder, do our kids see our faith at all? Sometimes I don't know. I kind of wonder. And sometimes it may be the grandkid that comes along and gets right and does what you need to do. It's just how it goes. Even in the Bible, we see that. And so I hope we have that kind of lasting faith like Joseph had. So now that gets us up to this week. So Hebrews chapter 11, lesson 9, and we're basically going to go back to Genesis. I'm not even going to deal with Hebrews much today, because I'm going to really look at these dreams that Joseph had. Okay, and so the dreams of Joseph on your handout. Joseph always gives credit to God for the interpretation of the dreams. That's why it tells him he had a relationship with God. He always gave God credit. Okay, if he was in it for himself, he would have taken the credit. And that's why we need to be very careful when the Lord does things for us that we're like, okay, it's not, I didn't do this. No, the Lord did this in my life, and I'm sharing it with you. Okay? So he always gives credit. And so, in fact, don't take my word. Let's go back and look at it. Genesis verse 40. Genesis 40 and verse 8. It says, and they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to me? Is that what he says? No, he says to God. Tell me them, I pray you. But it kind of gives us a twofold part in that story there. Number one, they belong to God. They belong to God, but give them to me and I'll get them to you. What's that tell you? He had a relationship with God of some sort, okay? So that's one place. Go over to chapter 41 and verse, and we'll start and read 15 and 16. Chapter 41, verses 15 and 16. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. So again, he gives God the credit. And then drop down to verses 38, and we're going to read that to verse 41. Verse 38 says, and Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Now, even though Pharaoh didn't serve Joseph's God, he knew that Joseph had a relationship with his God. Okay? And so I throw all that out. And God always gives God, and Joseph always gives God the credit. So we have here five dreams here. The first one is, I'm going to call it, it doesn't have a name, I don't think, so I'm going to call it the Sheaves dream. Sheaves, S-H-E-A-V-E-S. Okay? That's the first dream. The second dream, I'm going to call the astrological dream. Okay, that's what I said. We're going to deal with those two. Then we have number three was the butler's dream. Now, we all know that dream, right? And then the next guy was who? The butler and the baker. Okay, we got the baker's dream. And then we got Pharaoh's dream. Okay, so again, like I said, we know the butler's dream, the baker's dream, sounds like a poem. And then Pharaoh's dream. Which one of those made it out alive and which one got hung? Do you guys remember?
Yeah, the butler made it out alive.
Yeah, the butler went through it, but the baker hung, right? And so I kind of wonder if they would have been reversed and the baker went first. Would the butler wanted to know what his dream was about? In other words, the butler had his dream. He goes, oh, yeah, you're going to get restored. So the baker, he's all excited, man. Okay. Well, he just told his dream and he's going to get his position back. And then he tells the dream and Joseph has to tell him, kind of sorry about you, but, you know, part of the chosen few, you're going to, and that's a joke, you're going to have your head lifted off. Probably wasn't the best at words that he wanted to have. But anyway, let's go back and look at this, what I'm going to call the Sheaves dream. Let's go back to Genesis 37. Now, this is before he gets to Egypt, this dream. This is a dream that he actually has himself. The ones that were, these other three we've seen, are dreams that he interpreted. But in Genesis 37, 1 through 8, we're going to see Joseph dreaming this dream. Now, I know you guys have read this, but we don't spend a lot of time on it. So let's look at verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And these are the generations of Jacob. And then it just starts here. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, and his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their, what kind of report? Evil report. Now Israel, another name for who?
Jacob.
Loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Okay, so we went through this a little bit last week. Verse 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. So I don't know what crops they are doing, whether it's wheat or barley or what other crop would it have been?
Corn.
Iffy on the corn. Wheat, barley, probably one of those, I would imagine. And they're binding it. And you know the way they used to do it. They used to have to take a sickle?
A scythe.
That's what I was thinking. I used to have one of those. and you know, big long thing, you know, and you're sitting there and you got to cut the grain, and then you got to wrap it up in bundles, and the bundles is called a sheave, if I remember right. So they're doing that. Everybody knows what that is because it's a farming economy. And so he says, he's having this dream, says, "For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, all of them, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Okay. So obeisance in here. He says, "You guys are going to give me obeisance." And so does anybody know what that means? I mean, I don't use that term a lot. Well, it means more than that.
Like to honor.
To honor. Specifically to bow down to. So here, Joseph is saying, "Hey, my sheep stood up. And you guys were around me and you all bowed down to me." And then his brothers are like, "Let's just kill him right now." I mean, because they're getting mad. Okay? So again, in our note, in our bullet points, Joseph's sheaf rose up. The brothers' sheaves rose up and bowed down to Joseph. And the brothers understood the dream. He didn't have to interpret to them. They got it. Okay? And they were, you got a blank there, mad. You can put whatever you want in it. Furious, you know, foaming at the mouth, I don't know, but they're not happy. And they hated Joseph. So far, I don't know if you were counting just the little passage I read here, the little passage. How many times does it say that that Joseph was hated here so far? Anybody catch that?
No.
This is three times in what I read, it says they hated him. So do you think they hated him? Yes, they hated him. They hated him. And they hated Joseph for the fact that father loved him more. We talked about that last week. Was everybody here last week?
No.
That's here today? Anybody here that wasn't here last week? Maybe I asked it the wrong way. You weren't here last week. That's right, you wasn't. So okay. Did you get the handout from last week? Or you phoned it in?
No.
Okay. Oh, well. If you want one, there's one back there. Oh well. So they last week I yeah, you're supposed to fill those blanks in. Okay. So they hated Joseph for the fact that father loved him more. And I said last week, it just reminds me, the Smothers brothers, when they were up there, that one of them, I don't know which was which, and one of them, they'd be in the middle of their skit, and one of them would just turn to the other one and goes, "Well, Mom always did like you better." And that was kind of funny, but honestly, that's not funny if you're that person. Okay? And so number one, he already had a strike against him because his brothers hated him because his dad favored him. Okay? But they also hated him for his dreams. But don't miss the last one. It says here that they hated him for his words. So I would imagine the words go more than what the dreams were. Okay? I have a feeling that Joseph is this kid that just seemed to do everything right. Everything fell into place for him. His hair was he's probably a good looking guy. Probably his hair was never out in line. He probably did whatever dad wanted him to do. He was, you know, like the teacher's pet type of person. And it just seemed like everything always fell in place for him. And his brothers saw that and they hated him. Okay. So we're going to see that this sheaves dream gets fulfilled. Okay. And so remember this dream. Everyone else is going to bow down to Joseph. Okay? So turn over to Genesis chapter 43. In Genesis 43, we're right in the middle of the brothers coming down to Egypt to get grain to take home. And in chapter 43, verse 26, says this, "And when Joseph came home, They, meaning his brothers, brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed themselves to him to the earth. Now this is on the second trip, and Benjamin is with them on this trip. And they are invited over to Joseph's house, and when they get there, they brought him, remember they found their money in their bags on the first trip? And so they brought him that money back, and they came to his house, and they presented that money again to him, but they bowed down to him. You reckon they caught it when they all bowed down to this guy? Had no clue who he was, okay? But that dream is being fulfilled. But not only there, go over to chapter 44 and verse 14. This is after when they found out that Joseph's cup was in the bag of Benjamin on their way home, and they were found out and brought back. Verse 14 says, "And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground." There's another time that we see his brothers falling before him. And then you're thinking, okay, well, let's go till after all that. Turn over to Genesis chapter 50. This is even after Jacob passes away and they come back to the land of Egypt. This is that's what's going on here. And let's start in verse 15. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 15. "And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, 'Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him.' And they sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, 'Thy father did command before he died, saying,'" they're like, remember what Dad said, "'So shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of God and of thy father.' And Joseph wept when he spake unto them, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, 'Behold, we be thy servants.' And Joseph said unto them, 'Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive.'" Okay? And so, here they are, Dad's dead, Jacob is dead. They come back from burying him. They're back in the land. They're like, they are afraid that Joseph is now going to retaliate against them because of what they did. Dad's gone. And yet they fall down before him the third time. And yet Joseph's being very gracious, and he says, "Hey, you guys meant it for evil, but God allowed it for good." So there's that verse again. God will take the evil things in our life and turn them around for our good, just like he did here. Several years ago, there was a man that came, and he preached a message, and the message was, "Are you a victor or a victim?" Anybody remember that? Do you remember who it was? Doug Pearson. And you know why? I wrote that on my... That's why I said, you need a wide-margin Bible to write those things down. I wrote that down, and I never forgot that, because Joseph was not a victim here. He was a victor. And I'm like, we need to have that same approach in our life. When we go through the trials, we need to just turn it over to God and let him turn it and make it for good. Okay? And so that first dream is fulfilled. Right? In fact, if you didn't miss it, it's three times did they fall down before him. Okay? I doubt if he sat there and thought, remember those dreams? That first dream when you guys hated me? You guys have fallen down before me three times. I wonder if they thought that. I doubt if Joseph, he doesn't seem the one to be one that would throw that back in their face. And it doesn't say that he did, because if you looked at him, everything Joseph does seems to be right. And he has a heart. If you go back and want to study Joseph, go back and study how many times Joseph weeps for different things. And it gives you, he had a tender heart. He had a tender heart because he had a right relationship with God. I could just keep focusing on that. So that dream is fulfilled. Let's go back and look at this astrological dream. And you're like, okay, Bob, we haven't heard of that. Well, you know, you don't hear a lot of things until you come to this class, and then you get the full deal. The real deal's right here.
The rest of the story.
The rest of the story, okay. Maybe I can copyright that.
Yeah.
I think it's already been copyrighted. All right. So we're going to look at the astrological dream. Back to Genesis 37, back where we were, just a little bit after the first dream. We're going to read verses 9 through 11. So, verse 9 says, "And he dreamed yet another dream, and he told it to it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And they're probably like, oh yeah, we want to hear that one too. No, I don't think so. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." There's that word again, obeisance. They fell down to who? To me. "And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same." Okay, so let's go back to our handout that we have here. And so, what do we see in this dream? Number one, we see the sun. We see the moon involved. We see stars. And how many stars were in that dream there?
11.
Okay. 11 stars in this dream. And they make obeisance to Joseph. So Joseph goes in your blank. I believe you have a blank there. Jacob believes. Now Jacob is who?
Israel
is his father. Okay. So Jacob hears of this dream and he believes. Let's look at how he interprets this dream. Let's go back and look at it. He says, "And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And so his father believes that the sun represents himself and the moon represents Rebekah and the 11 stars represent his 11 brothers. That's what his belief is, okay? And he rebukes him for the dream, but he also observed it. Observed goes in your blank. He didn't understand it, but he put it in the back of his mind. He didn't forget it. Okay? He took notice of it. And yet, you know, he's probably thinking, that was probably a big deal. He rebuked him of it, and it wasn't until it was affecting him, though. That kind of sounds, I can kind of live this out. When it was the brothers, he probably didn't care a whole lot. Oh, yeah, you had a dream. Your brothers all fall down to you. Ha, ha, ha. Now it's like, oh, no, wait a minute. Now it's me and your mom bowing down to you and your brothers. Now, wait a minute, son. We're going to have to talk about this one. You know, that's kind of the attitude. But yet, he still observes it. His brothers heard this one. And what does it say? Verse 11. "And his brethren envied him." They were jealous of him. Jealous goes in your blank. So, I mean, again, they saw him and they saw things going on and he just seemed to be the perfect son. And that was enough to get their goat right there. That wasn't the fact that he was, you know, just a dirty scum sucking dog. I mean, or treated them bad or anything else. They didn't like him because they envied him. Okay? And so let's look at the fulfillment of this dream. Now, you don't hear people preach on this. What does all this mean? And so if you guys want to hang with me through this, that's fine. If you want to tell me I'm full of baloney, I'm okay with that. Okay? Because you got to kind of hang with me a little bit. Let me talk about it, it says. Let's talk about the fulfillment of this dream. And number one, my bullet point says it's not taking place as of yet. It could not be fulfilled then because Joseph's mother, Rachel, dies in the middle of this story. In fact, she dies not long after this prophecy, this dream is given, like, quickly. So then if she dies, how in the world is Jacob's, the father's interpretation of this dream going to take place? Okay.
You have Rachel here, but on this side you say Rebecca.
Did I say Rebecca? I have a problem getting those two mixed up. Well, wait a minute, though. Joseph's mother is who?
Rachel.
Okay, so on the other side, I got the wrong one?
Yes.
Well, let's go back and look. Where did I have that at?
The last bullet point.
The last bullet point. Okay, you're...
On page one.
On page one, under what number?
Three.
Under three.
Three.
Okay. Okay. I'm seeing your page doesn't line up exactly with mine, so that's why I'm having trouble lining it up. So, okay, so his mother is Rachel. I'm sorry, that first one should have been Rachel. Okay.
So the moon represents
Rachel. In all reality, we can go back and I can make a case for both of them, but Rachel's what really I want to put here. I got to go back and think about that a little bit more, why I put that one. Maybe I just flat messed up. Anyway, so Rachel dies in the middle of the story. She dies when Benjamin is born, if you remember the story. Okay? So, my next bullet point says, this dream will only be fulfilled in Joseph being a type. Type goes in your blank, of Christ. Okay? Joseph, I believe, is the greatest type of Christ in the Bible. You've got David in there too, but I think Joseph supersedes him. He is the greatest type of Christ that we have in our Bible. Okay? And so these verses will help bring that to the point. But let me just give you a few things. Number one, they were both shepherds. Both went to seek their brothers in the field. Okay? And so, in Genesis 37, let's go back and look at that. We're already there. Verses 12 through 16. And his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brother feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, here am I. And he said unto him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with thy flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brother, and tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. So again, you have a place where both Jesus came to seek his brethren, and Joseph went to seek their brethren in the field. Okay? Now, if we turn over to Matthew chapter 13, and let's look at verses 37. Matthew 13:37, and this is Jesus, back up a little bit, maybe to 34, chapter 13 of Matthew 34, and all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the what? Is the world. Okay? And then turn over to Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, verse 10. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save which was lost. Okay? So over and over in the Bible, and I'm trying to just show you that we'll see that Joseph, the things he does, Christ does. Okay? And so if you start looking at it, they just start popping out of the woodwork. Joseph is the greatest type of Christ in the Bible. Okay? So let's go back and look at our handout here. Both were the beloved son of the father. Both were the favorite son. A son who brought an evil report of their brethren. Both were envied by their brethren. Both were hated. Both would have people eventually bow down to them. Both were plotted about by their brethren. Both were stripped of their clothes. Both were sold for silver. Silver goes in your blank. Now, Jesus was sold for silver. How many pieces?
30.
Now, in the story from last week, how many was Joseph sold for?
20.
And you go, wait a minute. Those numbers don't match up. 20 was the amount for a slave or a minor. So a minor or a slave, or to be a slave in the Old Testament, would not bring the same price as an adult. So Joseph, being 17, or close to 17, was sold for the price of a teenager, 20 pieces of silver. Jesus himself, being over 30, was sold for the price of a man, being 30 pieces of silver. Okay? So both were lied about of their death. Both are advanced to the second highest position. Both end up saving their brethren. And the list goes on and on. That's just the tip of the iceberg. We could put volumes of how they connect. Yes?
You could say also in this story that Joseph took a Gentile bride out of Egypt just before the 7 years of famine.
Okay. And number one, he took a Gentile bride out of Egypt, which is the world, which is the same thing Christ does. He's going to have a Gentile bride, which is us, and he's going to pull us out, just like you said. And the list goes on and on. I mean, we could keep going, okay? So our next bullet point here says, the Son is a type of God the Father, but he's also a type of Jesus Christ. The Son. You know, the sun in the sky. Okay? The moon is a type of the... Anybody know?
Church.
Absolutely. That's a D2 deal. Okay? But, get this. And also, in your next blank, the nation of Israel. That's why this is hard. This is a hard dream to nail down. And so you go, well, how do you know that? Okay, turn over to Song of Solomon. You know, one of those other books that we read all the time, right? Song of Solomon. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 6 and verse 10. If I have that right. Everyone there? It says, who is she that looketh forth as the morning? Well, let's back up just a little bit. So we have Solomon talking about someone here. Just go back to verse 4. It says, thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead. Thy teeth are as a flock of sheep which go up from washing. Tell that to your wife when you're trying to smooth her over. Whereof every one beareth twins, and there is not one barren among them. As a piece of pomegranate are thy temples within thy locks. There are 80 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice of one of her that bare her. The daughter saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Verse 10. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? And so we're talking about, you know, his wife here, and that wife represents the nation of Israel, but it also represents the church. Okay, like I mentioned. Now turn over to Revelation 12 and verse 6. In fact, we're going to read 1 through 6. I'm sorry. Revelation 12, 1 through 6. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. So who's the woman in this story?
It's the whore.
I know, but who does she represent? There's two possibilities. One is the church, and one is the nation of Israel. In this particular story here, we're talking about the nation of Israel, okay? And so you have another woman involved. And so I'm just throwing these things out because it kind of helps us to get to the end of the fulfillment of this dream, okay? So, you go, okay, so you've kind of defined the sun. The sun is either back here in the dream. The sun and the moon fall down before Joseph. And Joseph's yet a type of Christ. And yet we know the sun is a type of God the Father and God the Son. We know the moon is a picture of the nation of Israel and the church. And they're not the same. But in the Old Testament, God the Father is married to Israel. And in the New Testament, Christ's bride is who?
The church.
The church. So you kind of have to kind of really start connecting some dots here to get to this point. And you go, okay, Bob, you've explained who the son and the woman is. What about it says 11. Stars back in the dream, right? Okay, well, let's turn over to Revelation chapter 7, verses 4 through 8. In Revelation 7, 4 through 8, we're going to see the tribes of Israel mentioned, okay? Make sure I'm in the right spot. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of who? Joseph. Were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. Now I throw that out there because in any reference between when the tribes got into, from any reference basically from Egypt all the way up to now, Joseph is not included.
Just his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh.
But here, it switches back over to Joseph. Just a coincidence.
Tribe missing too.
Which tribe?
Dan.
Okay, and that's probably because of their unbelief. And they were pulled out and Joseph is put back in. Coincidence. Okay. So the 11 stars represent the nation of Israel in that dream, with Joseph being the 12th, when it actually is going to happen in Revelation 7, 4, and 8. So the dream that he has, this second dream that he has, appears to be fulfilled at the second coming of Christ. It can't happen until then. And it only happens through Christ, who Joseph is a type of. Now you might go, Bob, okay, Bob, you're stretching things a lot. Okay? And I know I am. But there's no place in the Old Testament where that dream could have been fulfilled because his mother dies. It has to be in type. And when you look at the types, it matches. That's my point. Yes?
Those two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, they didn't cross the river either. At the beginning when they go into the promised land, at least half of the tribes.
Well, one of the tribes, Manasseh has one on both sides.
Yeah.
Okay. But yes, so somehow in the middle, God puts them back in this again. And so you can say, well, everything doesn't match up exactly. Well, no, but I think this is what this is mean. Now, if you can come up with another explanation, I'm happy to listen to you. But this is what you see by studying the types. So sometimes you can look at things in the Bible. You can study words. You can study people. You can study types. And they'll help you understand the story. There's nowhere else where that dream fits until the very end. And so one of the dreams that Joseph had was fulfilled right then. But the other dream will not be fulfilled until Christ comes back, who is a type of Joseph. Okay. How that's going to help us, I don't know, but that's just something I went through and I thought was pretty interesting. Our Bible is deep. I would imagine when we get to heaven and God opens up our mind where we can understand things, we're going to look at that like, well, you know, we read this Bible 100 times and we didn't get 1% of probably what's in it. It's that deep. We should not take it for granted.
But every time we read it, we get more and more each time.
We do.
And that's what is so, you know, marvelous, that you don't just get it all at once. You get it little by little.
Right, and we get what the Holy Spirit tells us, don't we? And so that's why we need to continue to keep reading it and reading it and study, do a word study on things, study types, and they'll unlock some things for you in the Bible to help you in your walk. Okay? And so what do we get out of this? At the end of their lives, you know, both Joseph and Jacob, all the way up so far that we've studied, it took them their whole life to get to the point where they fully put their faith in the Lord. Now, if you want to go back and study some things, go back and study how many times Joseph weeps through his life. That's recorded in the Bible, and it'll give you his heart. Go back and look at Jacob. How many times God appeared to him? I'll give you a clue. 7. He appears unto Jacob 7 times throughout his life, and yet he still messes up all along the way. But at the very end of their lives, they're recorded, and their last statements are recorded in the Hall of Faith, because when it came down to it at the end, they put their faith in the Lord because they knew he would come through even before he did. Okay, so let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father in heaven, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for your Bible. Lord, I just thank you that you've given us the Bible in our language, where not only does it show us how that we can have a relationship with you, but it shows us how we can have a daily relationship with you and how that should grow. And you show us the deep things of your word, and just so we can know you better. And so I pray that we would all be in your word on a daily basis. And I pray that you would just reveal to us what you want us to know, how we can live our life, and Lord, how we need to be a witness to the people around us. I pray that we would walk worthy of what you've given us. And Lord, we will give you the honor and glory in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I need to go back and look at that one.
We know what.
With what?
210 over 5.
Oh, 210. Yeah, that is okay. It is up there, so we need to keep you in our prayers for your blood pressure. I need to go back and look at my Rebecca Rachel thing. See what it did with that.
Did you get the wheelchair you need?
Yes.
I know we keep getting some more sponsors, so that's good. Yeah, so we're picking up some sponsors and